At what point does someone who consumes your content stop being a follower and start feeling like they're a part of something more?
So there's a tendency for many creators to get fixated on follower counts and audience sizes, but how do you actually build real human connection, community, and collaboration?
Even if thousands of people are following your work, it can still feel like you're creating alone. Because followers are one thing, people who really care are another.
So consider this an official invite to deepen your relationship with us as we explore how to turn connection into community. Hello and welcome to First Frame, where creators come for answers, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And on this season of the podcast, we're diving into practical and ethical challenges facing Canadian content creators in 2026.
With insights from emerging creators, seasoned pros, and industry insiders, it's our goal to give you clear and actionable advice you can use right now.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
Today, we're zooming in on a question we first tackled back in season one, and it just keeps coming up. How do you turn clicks and casual followers into a bona fide community?
To help us find the answer, we've brought together two creators who have both fostered vibrant and welcoming spaces where their fans can connect on a deeper level, both online and in real life.
First, I'm excited to introduce Stephanie Dacre, the Vancouver-based creator behind The Shroom Boom, a digital series about mycology, mushrooms, and the people who love them. Stephanie, welcome to First Frame.
Hi, everyone. So happy to be here and really excited to talk about this topic.
And also joining us here today is Ryan Fisher, a.k.a. Dandy, an actor and drag performer known for his show Dandyland, which just won an Emmy for Outstanding Costume Design. Ryan, congratulations and thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, welcome to both of you. I can't wait to talk more about community. It's one of the main themes of this podcast. But before we do, I'm hoping you can share your origin stories for our listeners and viewers who aren't familiar with your work. Stephanie, why don't you go first?
So my origin story is, I would say, started about 10 years ago when it comes to mushrooms and mycology. I worked at a remote wilderness resort and I spent about 6 months there for two seasons where it was the first time I ever saw anybody forage for mushrooms or even spent time with anybody that cared about mushrooms. And that really started my journey into learning. And what a lot of people will say when it comes to fungi is once you start to learn a little bit, it is very much a rabbit hole that you never really come out of. And that was my story as well. So I just became obsessed with it. And my Story Hive Voices program was really an outpouring of love. Like, I didn't have enough people in my life to talk about mushrooms, I would say. So it just all went online at that point. And from there, it kind of removed the barrier, I would say, of communicating what I wanted to, because I was forced to learn to edit and learn to shoot and produce and all of those things. And so that turned into something that now I'm able to really communicate the way I want to.
Amazing.
So let's talk to a different type of fun guy. See what I did there? And Ryan, tell us a little bit about Dandy. How did it become such a massive story?
I was living and working as an actor down in LA, and I joined a cabaret troupe. After working with them for a while, they sort of put me in their shows with the task of coming up with an act. So they're like, you can be in the next show, but you got 8 minutes to fill. You got to come sing a song, do something like that. I was really nervous about singing live. And so I kind of created this like mask in a way that was this larger than life character with a bunch of makeup and wigs. And so the whole joke of it is engaging the audience. And I gave them little lavender sprigs and sat them down, didn't explain what it was. And when I'm on stage, I'm essentially like, okay, if you're wearing the sprig, everybody here's got that. Great. That means you're part of the Lavender Society, which is a gay society. So you guys are all gay. You're a part of this. So during the pandemic, we didn't really have much to do other than go on social media. And I had a friend who would help me in the cabarets. And they're like, you know, your bit is so funny for social media. Like, you must make a TikTok. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm in my 30s. Like, I shouldn't be on TikTok. But the first one we did was just echoing that of like, hey, looking through the camera, you there in the audience, you're part of the club and you're gay. And I think that first video, the first one I posted got like 100,000 followers, and then just started growing from there, you know, millions of views. And it's sort of born out of that stage presence of, hey, audience, there's no fourth wall here. There's you sitting in your seats and I'm talking to you. And so translating that, I think, into social media is what sort of amassed that kind of following.
I love that. It feels like that immersive part, right? Like you're not just watching, you're bringing them in, bring them along for the show. Love that.
Well, thank you both for the background. Now let's tackle today's topic, building a real community. And let's start by defining exactly what that is. So Stephanie, what's the difference between an engaged community and just having followers?
That's a really good question. I think when it comes to having an engaged community, it feels a lot more like a in real life relationship. And that's something that I think over the last 2 years or so that I've really focused on, maybe 3 years, really spending time to talk to people about their specific questions when it comes to mushrooms. I get a lot of DMs about mycology related questions. And I found that it makes all the difference in the world to spend the time to actually provide a custom answer to that question and make those people feel heard. And there is always some kind of a benefit for me, like a mutual beneficial relationship there, because I'll always learn something from them. That's what I found, is like, this is not just responding to a DM and then moving on. They'll always offer some kind of a, oh, you know, I'm going to this event and it's a really cool mushroom festival and here's a photo of me there. And I'm like, I didn't even know they had a mushroom festival, right? So I think the really treating people like humans as opposed to just little profile pictures goes a long ways. It takes time, but I think it's hugely worth it.
Ryan, what would you say?
I think Stephanie had a great answer to that. The engagement, like commenting back on everything, is a really great way to start this, I think. You know, there's something about like the identity of your group as a whole and fostering kind of a space where you see, for example, for how gay my content is, if you see any kind of homophobic comment come back, like I never engage with that. I just sort of leave that in the ether to the bots. I love the part of my community because people will always say in DMs, like, I love you, Dandy, or at live shows, like, oh, Dandy, I love you, I love you. But, you know, Dandy's not real. Is not a real person at all. And Stephanie touched on this too. It's like that authenticity is something that is for social media. You know, people love influencers because they feel like that's my buddy that is waking up today. And it's because of the space that we create where, you know, you can feel like you're able to be yourself, whoever you are, and that you're accepted and loved for who you are. So when they say, you know, I love you, Dandy, really what they're saying is I love myself. And just having this space where, you know, you're commenting, the videos are directed towards them, you're encouraged to feel moved to DM and comment on stories, that kind of thing. I think that is so much more of an actual community than just followers.
That, to me, sounds like there's effort that needs to be put into all of that then. So then how do you avoid burnout? Because if you were answering DMs and everything that both you and Stephanie have talked about so far, how do either of you deal with the burnout factor of keeping engaged community?
I just love it so much that it's easy in that way. Like, I could talk about mushrooms all day long. At my previous tech job, I used to have a coworker who would put a sign on my desk and it would allow me to talk about mushrooms for an hour and then he would take it away. So it's just one of those things that's like, I love it. And I think going into something and sharing about things that you love and really fill you up is a cheat code from that aspect. But a little bit more practical, I would say I try to limit when I actually open social media throughout the day. I try to only go on it after 2 p.m. so that I have those morning hours to not just have that data entering my brain. And then after 2 p.m., I find it's a lot easier to handle whatever is coming at me.
I think that's a fantastic answer, Stephanie. Yeah, I mean, that would be like a huge piece of advice to avoid something like this, is like, if it's not feeling fun, then that's a good sign to get curious about. Like, why is that? Like, that's what should help you zone in on and focus on what exactly it is your content's going to be in the first place. But as far as burnout, I set a time limit. I have like an hour limit on my phone for social media. And so if I'm on that day and that app has been opened and being used for over 60 minutes, it'll like lock the app or give a warning. And the trick is like, I'm always like, okay, no, you know what? This is just, now I know I'm going to keep going. Now I know it's over an hour today. So I'm aware every time I'm on there. But yeah, that's a number one thing for me was like, sure, I'll go over, but just to at least get me to that point of like, okay, you've been on there for an hour. This is, you can take a break. Put it down.
Exactly. Now, Ryan, you mentioned a couple things that, you know, creators should be doing. So I want to sort of twist that a little bit to maybe what they shouldn't be doing. And I'm wondering what mistakes you might see creators making when they're trying to build a community, or perhaps one that maybe you made yourself.
I think a big mistake might be after a certain amount of views and comments, it would be like going down the rabbit hole of reading all of the comments. I think I have a rule of the first few hours after posting a video, you want to try and comment back to everybody who has something to say. Mm-hmm. And then for the rest of the first day, you want to make sure you're going through and liking every comment that you see. But I always give it like, especially if you're posting more, like once a day, then it's like after that, it's like, okay, there now it's a beast on its own. We're getting to like thousands and thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of comments. And I think there's a point where you got to let it go and let the community take over. So don't go down the rabbit hole of like obsessing over comments or things people are saying. You know, we want to engage the community, but like at a certain point, it's like, well, you're making something here. So like, you got to be happy with it and let it live.
Yeah, exactly.
So you both obviously are very passionate about the work that you're doing. So a question I would like to ask is, have you ever posted something that you actually thought would resonate, but it actually flopped with your community? And what did you learn from that experience?
Things flop all the time, to be honest. I think that's just the nature of the game. And I always like to look at content creation as a numbers game, something that I wish I could credit the person who said this, but three people are going to like it, three people are going to hate it, and four people have absolutely no idea what's going on if you're looking at a group of 10 people. And that's something that stuck with me because it really is, it's just data. Like, things just flop sometimes. And I think when it comes to my content specifically, sometimes it's a little bit too science forward for a group of people, or perhaps it's a little bit too simplified even. And so you do get the science community not really agreeing with the way that I've simplified something. And it's a balance that I usually have to try to strike, but I just let things flop and leave them be.
I thought you were going to tell us there's some secret sauce or something to doing it. So
no.
Ryan, what about yourself? Have you done anything or you've posted where the fans were like, not having it?
Nope, I've always been perfect. Nothing nothing to report. No, I honestly, like, there are a lot of flops. And if a video will kind of underperform, like you look at it and there's like less than 30,000 views after a full day of putting it up, I'm like, nah, take it down. We'll try again later. There was one specifically that I did. This just really helped me from early on learn how to not do burnout, actually, is because I would, you know, spend the week thinking of ideas. I would make scripts, you know, there'd be a day of writing and getting it all ready and like, okay, here's like the 2 pages of what I want to get done. Then I get into makeup. So I have a day where I film everything. And then I would spend the rest of the week editing it all. And so like making the perfect little video. And there was one where I was living in this great artist share mansion and it had like 1 million plants. So I went around and I recorded all of the plants, then coming up with funny names for what Dandy called his plants. And there were like great editing bits where the editing was so funny where it cut there. And I'm like, this is hilarious. Like, there's a sneeze wart or like a prickly pear tree or whatever. whatever was like basically coming off the top of my head, a gay tree, right? And I post this and I'm like, this one's perfect. This literally took a week to make this video. I think it got like, you know, something like 10,000 views, where then during that same filming day, I was like, oh, you know, let's do a couple more just in case. Off the top of my head, I've got my phone up here. I'm like, I don't know if you're watching this, this means your day. That's good. Okay, send that. And that one will get like 8 million views. And I'm like, it took me 30 seconds to think of, 30 seconds to film. But my brilliant planned masterpiece, nobody cared.
All that effort.
That's so real.
Yeah, that teaches you, you know, it's like you don't need to make it so hard on yourself. Yeah. Like, figure out what's working. And usually if it's super simple and super easy, that means it's right.
I'm really loving the conversation so far, but why don't we take a quick break and play a little game that Jen and I like to do, which is called Cutting Room Floor.
Every creator has ideas that make the final cut and others that don't. So in 30 seconds or less, tell us something that you cut and then regretted or didn't cut and really wish you had. Who wants to go first?
So I guess like the biggest regret that I would have about the cutting room floor is like not discovering earlier on that you can actually just repost that later. So it's like, okay, this didn't hit. The algorithm is this stream that it went by us, and this pearl is here, is not lost forever. I wish I had learned early on that it's like, okay, why don't you save this and just try again a day next week, and then try a different time of day that like this isn't really maybe hitting with the, you know, the noon crowd. Maybe this is going to hit with the dinner audience.
Yeah. Stephanie, what about you?
To stay on the theme of trying to be perfect, I, about 4 years ago, had this idea to create a series of educational videos that I filmed in the forest teaching about mushrooms. And I went out into Stanley Park and I found this beautiful tree with this beautiful mushroom, and I had a whiteboard on top of it. And I was going to, you know, in post add stuff onto the whiteboard. I was super excited about it. And it was for a potential brand deal. And I pitched it to the brand and they ended up saying like, this is just too much science for our community. Like, we need it to be far less sciencey. But just last week, I went back to that same spot in the forest and I was like, you know what? I should do this video idea again. It was so cute. Like, I loved how it looked. And I actually ended up posting a video on my social media, on my Instagram last week, because the tree is gone, like completely gone. The mushroom had digested the tree entirely. So it wasn't cut down. It was digested and had fallen over. And I was like, wow, like this is such a good learning that you just have to put out what you want in the moment. It doesn't have to be perfect. And it certainly doesn't have to meet other people's expectations.
I feel like there's a place for your video and that brand just didn't see it.
100%. I agree with that now. 100%.
Now let's really drill down on the topic of community building. And this question is more for our emerging creators. Stephanie, how can they make their community feel valued, even if they're small or just starting out?
It's a good question. And I think giving people a place to go and to connect, even if you're not there, making it something that people actually feel like, wow, this is a community that I'm a part of. I think obviously that could be in real life events, but it could also be something like, I have a very good friend, Ben, who always does treasure hunts within the city. So he'll hide certain brand things or shirts that he's made or whatever, and he'll hide it throughout the city, and then he'll post on his Instagram and he'll say like, here's a map of where it is, and then everybody in the community or his community will go out and try to find it. And I think that's just like such an amazing way to get people out in the real world, and then they meet each other and they really feel a sense of like, I belong to something here. I think it's hard to convert to in-person events as a creator. Like, I think some people struggle to make that jump because they're just used to making digital content, right? And it might be outside of their comfort zone. But I would really encourage everybody to try, because as soon as I started to make that effort, it made me feel so much more connected, and just a sense of purpose outside of a screen is so powerful.
And Ryan, what about yourself? Is there anything that you would recommend to creators?
Yeah, I think honestly, like just remembering that like social media, right? Like it's the social part is for a reason. It's literally about we call it engagement, right? How many engagement does the piece of content have? And so like where I sort of said in my origin story of like what really captivated the live audience when I work on stage is the being like, hey, you, hi. Yeah, no, I'm talking to you. We're right here together. And sort of just sort of using that as the focus. And I think some of the things that I've done, I've named my community before it even started, because that kind of came with the bit. Like, you're the Lavender Society. And I love when telling people what my handle is. They're like, oh, what's your social media? Like, what's your handle? And it's like, Dandy and Friends. I'm Dandy. You're the Friends. So this is all, like already from like the first step of what we're creating. It's like, personal, like always personal. Like you can literally DM you. And if you don't do DMs, that's totally fine. You can comment directly to these people. And it's like really for them, right? So in all ways, for whatever your content is.
Yeah, you can hear that from both of you, right? That it's really about engaging them and making them feel seen, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, for both of you, what is a simple practice or habit that had a huge impact on your community building success? Is there something off the top of your head you can think of?
I think posting consistently. Mm-hmm. Like I think posting every single day at a consistent time is what built my audience in the community. Because that's a face that they see and that they can kind of count on, and they know what to expect and when, and that you're there and present. You know, you take a couple weeks off of posting, and then people, the next video, they're like, where have you been?
I think that is a really good answer. However, I'm going to flip it a little bit, because for me, I do, and this comes back to avoiding burnout, and something I probably could have touched on when it comes to burnout is I actually don't post consistently at all. It's based on the season, really. It's something I had to realize is that there's no mushrooms for 4 months of the year in Vancouver. And instead of trying to like force myself to put content out when there's really not a lot of inspiration around me, I've really decided that it's okay to go a little dark, and it's okay to post content just as I come up with an idea that I feel excited about. But you do have to expect that once you get back into posting, that the algorithm has lost you, and you have to do, you know, 3 to 4 weeks of warming it up again, so to speak, before you post content that you actually really, really care about and want to do well, or content that you've spent a lot of time on.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that you both have very different perspectives on this. And I think it's really important for the creator community to hear this, because I think they really need to take a step back and figure out what can they commit to. What does their audience need in order to be engaged? And whether it's posting once a week or posting every single day or posting multiple times a day, I think it really comes down to making sure that you can commit to it for your audience, and your audience will then follow that schedule. So I think it's really important, and I appreciate the fact that you both have differing perspectives on that.
You guys have both built pretty extensive communities through your different social media platforms and stuff like that. But at what point did you go, oh, I want to do something in person? And what triggered that? So like someone who's starting to build their community, what advice would you give them to know, hey, this is maybe the right time to go out and do a live event?
I started on live events is sort of where it began before I ever signed up for any social media account as Dandy. So it was always the plan to go back there. And it is a bit tricky because I'm from the US, but I've been living in Vancouver since the pandemic. So like 4 years now. And like there's a difference between my audience online, like, you know, it's like the non-binary people in Nebraska. that like really are a big part of my community because there's no other community like that in Nebraska. And so there's also this sort of separate community and following that I have of like a more local thing. So like getting those two together, it is a bit tricky for sure. I think you just got to do it and see what works because then you find out where is your audience. I know some great trick a lot of creators do is in the link tree, you can have like a, where can I find you? Like a lot of stand-up comedians would do this on their social media. And it's like, okay, there are 100,000 people in Nebraska that follow me. So I guess we're going to Nebraska and we can sell like, even if you sell like 0.1% of the audience buys a ticket, like you're still got a couple sold out shows. And so I think, sort of leveraging it in that way. Finding out where they are and then whatever you want to be doing, right? Like if you're doing like a, in live, like a meetup to where it's just a mixer is one thing. Or if like you're putting on a show or you're making a presentation that you want people to come to see, you know?
So for me, the very first event that I ever did was, I want to say like 2022, around then. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I think I only had like 2,500 followers on Instagram and TikTok. Like it was very, very minimal, relatively. And I wanted to do an in-person meetup because I had gone to something called MycoFest in Pennsylvania, a little mushroom festival that when I was there, I had this kind of like moment where I realized this is the people I want to be spending my time with. Like I left there just so inspired and full of creativity and happy. And I just felt like myself so much more than I ever have before. And so when I got home, I was like, oh, I'd love to build this in-person community here. And the way that I did it that first event was I tagged it on to another event that I knew people had purchased thousands of tickets for. And so I said, okay, let me just throw an after party for this event so that I know people are looking for something to do after this event that ends at, you know, 8 o'clock or something. And I made the tickets fairly cheap. I think they were like $10 or $15 and, you know, enough to just cover my costs for renting the space. And tickets sold out like immediately. I think I had 100 people there, and there was a waiting list of like another 50 or 60 people that wanted to attend. And that really helped me build my confidence of doing something in real life and also build a bit of an email list of people that are interested in future events. But I do think that like after party model or following up something with an event that you know people are already going to is a really good way to start. And then you can move into like, okay, let's do something that's just a standalone event on its own.
That's a really great tip because you're already getting people who are interested in the same topic mm-hmm. to come together, which is fantastic. Now, to put a bow on everything we've talked about today, what would you tell a creator who asks the question, how do I build a real community online?
Well, going back to what we were talking about before is just love what you're doing and enjoy what you're creating. And like Ryan was saying before, the videos that you spend 10 seconds on, well, not 10 seconds, but you know, 10 minutes on and you post and you're like, that was fun. I loved it. Those are the ones that end up doing really well as opposed to something that you, and I mean, not to say that you shouldn't spend time creating things that you love that take a long time, but just go into something that you deeply, deeply enjoy and brings you joy, regardless of how it does on the internet. The virality or the views will come and it might take some time. Like it took a couple years truly for my page to start reaching more than just a couple thousand people, but it just didn't matter because those three or four people that watched that video and asked a follow-up question or wanted to connect with me in some way, like that was enough. And it was enough for me to just talk about something that I enjoyed so much. So yeah, love what you do. I have to say that.
Build it and they will come.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's that authenticity like we're saying about what social media is. It's like, You want to feel like you know these people. It's kind of like why people stick around. And so like, even if it is a silly, like costume character, like there is that authenticity of like loving being there. And that is very smart. I think one thing for me that I haven't talked about, I'm glad I have the opportunity to say right now, that really fostered building community for me early on and to this day is live streams, like going live on TikTok or on Instagram to where it is real time. You know, I say like, okay, come to the live show and then there you are sitting in front of me. It does feel the same. Like you get like hundreds of people into a room and it feels like you're sitting in front of an audience, but you're just talking right here. And then it is real time interacting with the people that come in. Like there's funny bits that come up every time I do a live stream of pronouncing names wrong a certain way, or like every person that comes in, you read their name out. Oh, hello, Franklin10078 36 user, you know, and just every single person that comes in, you like engage with, you welcome there. Like they have questions and you answer the questions as they come up. And I feel like that's what really made a strong impact on like having an audience. And then you see those same sort of people pop up again. I'm like, oh, it's Franklin.
You know? I definitely hear for both of you that, you know, it's just going out there and putting yourself out there. And because a lot of our creators, I think, are always so concerned about making it polished and having it perfect before putting it out. But like when you live stream or when you do that 10-minute video that's just recording yourself on the spot, as you've mentioned, that is so much more authentic. And your community, I think, sees that. And that's why they're there. They're there to see you as your authentic self.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, amen.
Absolutely. I think it's really a muscle that you have to work, to be honest, like getting a video out and feeling the sometimes anxiety around it because you don't know how it's going to do, or maybe it doesn't do well, or maybe it does do well. And then the comments are where the anxiety comes from, right? But the more that you do it, the better it gets. Like that's what I try to tell everybody. It's like going to the gym. Mm-hmm. And as you keep doing it, it will get easier and it'll be, better for everyone.
Stephanie and Ryan, this has been a wonderful conversation. But before we wrap up, what's the best way for our listeners and viewers to become part of your communities?
So I've just recently launched a Substack, and that's where I'm trying to gather more community members. That is called Mushroom Lovers. You can find me on Substack there. I'm going to be spending a lot more time over the next year in written content, but also, you know, different video content. And I'm thinking about maybe something a little bit more analog and tangible, like a physical mailing list is something I've been thinking about. And then also, of course, MycoSteph everywhere on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, etc.
Excellent. Ryan?
Well, at Dandy and Friends on TikTok and Instagram. Remember, I'm Dandy, you're the friends. Signing up for the mailing list on my website, friendsofdandy.com. And that way we can always keep in touch for live performances and any kind of shenanigans that are coming out that you want to catch.
We are extremely thrilled that both of you are part of the StoryHive community. So thank you for participating in our programs. And thank you so much for joining us today here on First Frame.
Thanks. Thank you so much. This was great.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Cam, it comes up so often. It was really great to do a deep dive into community building today. I think my big takeaway from this episode is that concept behind build it and they will come. Really, you know, diving into something that you're passionate about, making sure that what you're putting out into the world fits your life and what your commitment can be, so that your audience is sort of used to your cadence and what to expect as part of your community. And those people who resonate with what you're putting out there will find their way into your world. What about for yourself?
I think what stood out in big, bold letters for me was be yourself. You already said authenticity, where it's like, just be you. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there and your community will continue to grow. And it's engaging in those comments, right? Or the DMs. I heard that over and over again.
Yeah. Really making each person feel like they are part of something instead of just sort of that outside person looking in.
You got it.
That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single thing. And if you'd like to learn more about how Tell a Story Hive can help you along your content creation journey, check out storyhive.com.
Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. That's a wrap.